I'm John Kroll. Today, in this special recorded No Limits, we're going to talk about promoting women in music in Indianapolis and Indiana. My guests are Michelle Marty, Girls Rock Indianapolis co-camp director and board president, Nicole O'Neill, a musician, Girls Rock board member, and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest, and WFYI's own Melissa Davis, producer of Small Studios. Because this is a recorded program, we won't be able to take calls, emails, or questions or comments via social media, but we hope you'll enjoy the conversation. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. This is a recorded No Limits. We're going to be talking about promoting women in music in Indianapolis and Indiana. Because it is a recorded program, we're not going to be able to take your calls, your emails, or deal with your questions or comments via social media, but we hope you enjoy the conversation. My guests are Michelle Marty. She is a co-camp director for Girls Rock Indianapolis and the board president of Girls Rock Indianapolis. Nicole Neal, a musician, a board member of Girls Rock Indy, and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest. And then a familiar voice here, Melissa Davis from WFYI, who is the producer of Small Studios. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right. I'm going to start first with Michelle and just talk about what Girls Rock is.
Well, Girls Rock is a nonprofit organization that is designed to empower girls and youth, transgender youth included, and non-binary youth to help them to find their voice and express themselves through music.
And how long has it been in existence?
Girls Rock Indianapolis has been around since 2010. We kind of fed off a larger Girls Rock international movement that has been around since around the turn of the century. I get to say that.
Oh, the turn of this century.
Yeah.
Some of us of a certain vintage start thinking, oh, since 1900, but no, we're talking about 2000.
Yeah, we're talking about 20 years.
Okay. And Nicole, what got you involved with Girls Rock?
I got involved with Girls Rock. I haven't thought about that in a while. I was looking for ways to get involved in the community, and I was really interested in the fact that they were, at the time, putting together a diversity and inclusion committee. And so the person who was heading up that was about to go on maternity leave and asked me if I wanted to get involved, and that's where I joined. I found that to be a really great way to impact the community, especially being a woman of color in music and experiencing some of the things people have said or thought or the difficulties it can be to let your voice be heard. I really wanted to help other people be able to feel strong about that as well.
And how does Girls Rock help you do that?
Ooh, that's a great question that I think either of us can answer. But yeah. I think for me, I love that we have our camp every year. We have girls ages 9 to 16 who come in and they get to learn either drums, bass, vocals, guitar, keyboard, and form bands. We have workshops for them to learn, you know, self-expression. They get to learn how to write songs. And it's such a great place not only for them to interact with each other, but to also be around other people who are doing the things they want to be doing so they can see women who are musicians, who are teaching them. And that's just a really powerful thing to see the leaders in your community who reflect you.
So while Girls Rock initially started as an empowerment youth camp, we've kind of broadened our mission in recent years to support women in the music industry. So we're actively trying to help women who want to be involved in music, helping them find gigs, putting on this festival that Nicole and her.
Yeah, we're going to go to Woo Fest or Woo Girl a little later, but I wanted to talk just a little bit and set the scene because one of the things at least Melissa and I have talked about a little bit through the years is some of the challenges of that women face in the music scene here. Which I think gets to why Girls Rock needs to exist and why the mission needed to be broadened in the first place. Melissa, could you talk about some of those challenges?
Oh, boy.
We've got an hour. You can dig into it here.
You know, it's everything that I think we've all heard before, that if, you know, you walk into a venue and the folks at the venue they don't know that you're in the band. And so, well, are you here with your husband, here with your boyfriend? It's like, no, mm-hmm. here to sing, or I'm here to play. So that happens a lot. And, you know, it's just a constant, constant fight.
Someone recently got upset at me for carrying my own gear because they thought that my bandmate should be carrying it because it must obviously be his and it's heavy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it's my stuff. That's the kind of stuff you see sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I know of a drummer who frequently gets asked when she's dragging her equipment into the venue, is your boyfriend playing tonight? It's really not that uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
That attitude, I mean, that's part of why we exist, the attitude towards women. It just not having had that historical female presence in rock music, except, you know, as being singers in bands usually.
Mm-hmm.
Just people's perceptions of us not being present in that scene, it comes out through their mouths, and having to react to that all the time gets tiring.
So let me, how do they react when you do say, and I want to hear everybody's take on this, when you do say, well, no, actually, I am in the band, or I'm the lead vocalist, or, you know, I play guitars, or I play the drums, or whatever. How do they react? Because is there an acknowledgement on their part, oh, boy, I just committed a faux pas here? Or do they just, yeah, Melissa is shaking her head.
Like, so
Melissa gets to go first and say, nope. They just keep wading right on into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how our society has been, you know. So it's, I don't know, yeah. I mean, there's just so much there. And I don't get angry, but sometimes I get, I'm not surprised, you know, but it's just a constant thing that I think as women musicians, we're used to it. We're not comfortable with it. We're not happy about it, but it's always there.
Sometimes it gets followed up after the show with, oh, wow, you play pretty well for a girl, or, you know, oh, I like the color of your guitar, or like something really inane. I know Nicole has had many of those kind of comments.
Yeah, Nicole, I can see the smoke
just
rolling off your ears.
Thoughts of the many. I mean, I've had occasions where I get off stage and someone's like, "Oh, you know, you're so beautiful." You know, like it's things that, or you know, sometimes it's even just things such as my band sometimes will cover artists we like, as any band will, and we played a PJ Harvey song and we got off stage and the guy said, oh, you know, I love that you covered that song, she's my favorite female singer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, why can't she just be your favorite singer? You know, there's mm-hmm. you don't really hear people saying like Bruce Springsteen is my favorite male singer, like mm-hmm. there's no qualification there that has to justify who he is besides like someone that they would admire. So it's just things like that I normally folks don't mean anything hurtful by it, but it's just so commonly said and so commonly out there that sometimes there's just that sense that they don't even realize that they're putting those kind of qualifiers out there, which on the opposite end put us in a box of not belonging on our own or not being able to stand or for some reason not belonging in that group. You have to be a girl band. You have to be a female singer. You have to be all these other things, whereas, you know, men in music are just in a band.
Well, and it seems there are two. One is that the assumption is that being male is the default here,
mm-hmm.
And that you somehow are the variation rather than, you know, being fully human. But it's also this sense that there is an expectation of, I'm picking up here an undercurrent of the kind of music that you would play or, you know, that there are certain limitations that you were forced into by audience expectations that male musicians don't face. I've been throwing the tough ones to Melissa a lot first, so I'll go with Nicole. You know, is that part of the challenge, too, is battling through that?
Oh, 100%. I've had so many times where, you know, I talk to someone and it's like, oh, you know, I'm a musician. You know, I play bass and, you know, oh, you do? Like, that's a pretty heavy instrument. Or, oh, so we're looking for a singer in our band. We do a lot of Adele songs. And I'm like, I said nothing about singing Adele or anything. Like, I play in a rock band. Yeah. Where, I mean, she's a great musician. It's not that I don't listen to Adele, but the kind of music I play is, you know, kind of garagey rock music. And I love that. And there's definitely times when people are just shocked by that or surprised or even being at shows and like, oh, you know, what are you doing here? What kind of bands do you like? And this idea that for some reason I'm not supposed to be in this room or in this group or that you have to then prove how much you know about artists in order to show that you can be there. And it's just, it can be very frustrating to kind of have to prove your existence in spaces a lot.
Michelle.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure that it's as much a genre issue as a positional issue. I think women are expected to sing, whether it's jazz or blues, rock, pop music. Women are often at the front of the band. It's just not so often that they're behind the drum set, behind the bass, behind the scenes. As I studied audio engineering way back when, and it's not that often that they're expected to be behind a mixing desk or in a recording studio. And I think that just surprises people. And as Nicole said, it often these comments don't come from a place of bad feeling or negativity. It's just it's usually just people don't know what to think when they're confronted with that.
Well, most good-hearted people aren't conscious of their own prejudices. And that's part of what makes it difficult to confront them on that. I've allowed Nicole and Michelle to share their horror stories. Do you want to throw one in there, Melissa?
Wow. You know, I've recorded a demo contract in Chicago. I don't talk about this very often because it was kind of, it was not a great experience. It was a learning experience for sure, and I'm glad that I did that. But the entire time, and I was 19, I was very young, the entire time it was, you're not doing this right, this isn't correct, and it was, they were all men. Everyone, it was all men, you know. And as a grown up now, I realized that a lot of that was because I was a very young woman, and everyone felt comfortable just sort of saying whatever they wanted to say. And it wasn't a supportive environment. Yeah, it was tough. The specifics are hard to remember because it is a blur, but it was just very emotionally difficult. And at the time, I didn't really understand why it was like that. And yeah, now I do. And also I was green and not, I wasn't ready yet as a singer-songwriter. I was learning, but there was absolutely no support. And I remember hearing, I'm going to rock pretty loud. The male drummer said, I'm going to rock pretty loud. I hope you can keep up. It's like, okay.
So I just wanted to bring that back around to the purpose of Girls Rock. I think women often go into those situations that are male-dominated, not feeling confident, not feeling they have a voice. And I think that happens a lot with young girls, especially teenage girls, when they're struggling to gain their confidence and find their place in the world. I think men and boys are much more inclined to just push through their insecurities and make a lot of noise and work out what sounds good, whereas I think girls tend to sit back and wait for approval before they'll move forward. And we are trying to, in Girls Rock, give those girls that opportunity to make a whole lot of noise. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. Just get out there and make some noise and start to feel comfortable with where you're at, with your instrument, with your co-creators, with the band that you're playing with, and set them up with the tools so that they can go into those kind of environments and feel like they have some kind of background in being able to communicate and being able to express themselves.
Can you talk a little bit, I'll stay with you, Michelle, on this, about, you know, the power of music to liberate. I mean, you know, why music as opposed to bricklaying or some other activity?
Yeah, I think music speaks to us in a way that not many other things do, as even amongst the arts, amongst the performing arts and visual arts and audio arts. I think there's something in music that really inspires people. And I, from a personal point of view, I just remember as a teenager, all my emotions were like absorbed through my music. You know, I would... Anytime I felt anything, I would shut myself in my room and listen to something that helped me to identify those feelings. And I think the same way we can use that music, the power of that music, to express our emotions, whether it's with an instrument or writing lyrics and singing them. And I think that, yeah, it's very, very powerful.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about promoting women in music in Indianapolis and Indiana. My guests are Michelle Marty. She is co-camp director for Girls Rock Indianapolis and the board president. Nicole O'Neill, who is a musician, board member of Girls Rock Indy, and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest. And WFYI's own Melissa Davis, who is the producer of Small Studios. Because this is a recorded program, we're not able to take calls, emails, or questions or comments via social media, but we do hope you're enjoying the conversation. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. Welcome back to this special recorded No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about promoting women in music in Indy. Because this is a recorded program, we're not able to take your calls, your emails, or your questions or comments via social media, but we hope you're enjoying the conversation. My guests are Michelle Marty. She is co-camp director and board president of Girls Rock Indianapolis. Nicole O'Neill, a musician, board member of Girls Rock Indy, and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest. And Melissa Davis of WFYI, who is the producer of Small Studios. I should say, I've been introducing Nicole as a musician. Everyone here, with the exception of the host, is a musician. So I'm the odd one out in more ways than one, I guess. So, Nicole, talk to me a little bit about the Woo Girl Fest.
Sure. It's a big project, but it's something that's really exciting. It's coming up on Saturday, April 20th. It's going to be in Fountain Square at Square Cat Vinyl, at Pioneer, and we're having an after party at Radio Radio. Tons of bands, I believe about 20 to 23 bands. And it's just going to be a great day full of music where our goal is to support women and underrepresented musicians because there's more than just women who are included in this conversation. You know, there's non-binary people, there's LGBTQ people who also struggle with getting visibility and, mm-hmm. and getting the opportunities that they need in order to really thrive and show everybody what they're made of and what they've got. So we're really excited to put on this event. I think it's going to be really great for the community and just a great way to just celebrate these artists and show that we're here and we're here in big numbers.
So because we've been talking quite a bit about this this question of expectations, societal expectations, some ways the audience's expectations. It sounds like also the people who own the venue's expectations.
In some cases.
And what I'm curious about, because, you know, you're saying that to some degree women aren't expected to do these things. My perception often, and admittedly I'm of a more mature vintage than anybody else in the room here, was at least, you know, part of the reason some of the rock and roll mythology is to have, because that was about the only socially acceptable way for a certain kind of guy to say he was interested in music of a certain age. And the expectation often was that women would be in school. You know, like I've got a son and a daughter. My son, if you asked him to sing something, probably would throw himself out the nearest window. My daughter, on the other hand, has a beautiful voice and has loved performing ever since she was a child. Now, she doesn't necessarily think of herself as a rock and roll singer or anything like that, and I think we're speaking to that, too. The perception is that she's much more jazz and or kind of the Great American Songbook kind of thing or classical music. They will push her toward. But this seems like it's a bind that is trapping everyone rather than Nicole, you're nodding your head, so I'm going to go with you first on that one.
What exactly is the question?
Well, I think the question is, You know, how much of this is about breaking down these sort of expectations and just saying, you know, anyone can be pretty much anything they want to be?
Oh, I think so much of it is. I mean, even in your example, it's like so many people, there are so many men in rock music who have never taken a lesson, who mm-hmm. have never, you know, had to see a vocal coach. And yet when women are on stage, so often people are like, oh, you know, you're a good singer. Have you had lessons? Or there's all these judgments about their voices and their looks. And all of that really has to change if we're going to move forward, because those expectations of who can and can't be here, who deserves to be here, who has to prove themselves or prove themselves more, is just really killing and strangling the opportunities to be creative.
I think it's the same in many walks of life, the mm-hmm. many, mm-hmm. many professions where women just have to prove themselves that little bit more to be accepted at the same level that a man in the same position would be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think part of the problem, I'm not sure if this is where you were going, is it's kind of a boys' club thing, mm-hmm. where I think there's a lot of women making mm-hmm. wonderful music, even in Indianapolis. How many mm-hmm. bands did you have sign up?
We had over 80 submissions for Woo Girl Fest.
80 submissions for Woo Girls Fest. There's a lot of people who are making the music out there. And often we just find it hard to make the connections to get to that next stage, to get our foot in the door and find the venues that are going to book us and find the bands that want to put us on as support acts and that kind of thing. And it's not necessarily, again, born of malice.
No.
It's just that we're not in the room where these decisions are made.
Well, and where I was going was more of a cultural thing, and I do think we need to talk about the whole issue, because it sounds like at least part of the challenge is having more venues where women are the owners, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was thinking as Nicole was talking here about, you know, the expectation that men won't necessarily have to have vocal coaching or anything like that. And I thought, and I do not want to... You know, this is a recorded program, so I don't have to worry about the calls immediately. But the aftermath, you know, it's something as simple as a non-traditional voice, such as, say, Bob Dylan's, which, you know, no one would. And I love Dylan. I'll say that. But no one would listen to that guy and say, oh, yeah, that's Glee Club material right there. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, somebody who's just got a beauty. Is it possible for a female singer to be accepted who has a non-traditional, but still effective voice like that? Melissa?
Well, I'm thinking, let's name a few.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to come up.
One, two, three, four, five. We can't.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, well, I mean, and that's all relative when you talk about, yeah. like, voices, but I can't even remember her name right now, but she plays harp.
Yeah. Oh,
you
I
know,
yes.
you know it.
Yes,
you know
her, and I can't remember.
But she's got this timbre of her voice that for some people it's like, ooh, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And some people are like, mm-hmm. it's the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. And so there's definitely room for so many sounds and so many styles. But when it's not what you expect, because mm-hmm. you expect a woman's voice to be pretty and dainty. And, you know, I think that even ties into one of the things that's so great about Girls Rock is when young girls are told so often to be, you know, either seen and not heard, or be nice, or be polite, you can inadvertently suppress so many things where yeah. they don't feel like they can speak up or speak for themselves without seeming rude or seeming defensive. And so in a camp like that where we encourage them to use music to talk about things, we have girls who come up and they are writing songs about extremely serious material mm-hmm. that they've never really had a place to release that before.
One of my favorite for songs sure. from last year's showcase was that young band where the chorus of the song was, I'm not going to do it here because I will break the microphones, but the chorus of the song was just them yelling, why? Why? Over again. And it was so cathartic. It was beautiful. as far as voices go, I was thinking of the singer of the Screaming Females, and I forget, her name escapes me. She has a really unusual voice as well.
I can't think of anybody's name.
So
right
there's
now.
An exception out there that basically proves the rule.
So many.
Yeah, because there are a lot of non-traditional. So what do we do about this? I mean, how do we get past this this thing, because it's for those of us who do believe in an open and egalitarian society and all of that, and that talent should be able to flow where talent wants to go, basically. Presuming, of course, that the talent is for mass murder or something like that. But if it is creative or productive and all of that, that there shouldn't be what amount to artificial barriers to expression. What do we do about it?
We talk about it on your show every week with different female musicians from all over the city. We just keep doing what we're doing, I think. Keep the message coming. Honestly, I'm surprised we're still talking about this so much. And without outing my age, I started playing in bands last century, and I was a novelty. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a novelty. It was just prior to the Riot Girl movement in mm-hmm. London. And I thought, oh, we've made it. We're here. Riot Girl came. There were more women in supporting roles in music. But it never seemed to take hold. And, I don't have the answers, but I think keeping the conversation going and talking to the people who are in charge, who are, in a lot of cases, men. More, as you mentioned, more women venue owners, more women music producers, things like that would be great. But it starts in school.
Yeah. Melissa, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as we were thinking about artists and women artists who have unique voices, mm-hmm. two names that come to mind now, I'm thinking Yoko Ono and Courtney Love, mm-hmm. who are very controversial.
Yeah.
And why? They're super talented. Mm-hmm. They have so much to offer. And they've changed the conversation about women in music, and they're still...
But it gets to your point, actually, too. One of the big reasons they're controversial is because of the relationships they had with men. Well, they're not judged purely on the, on the quality of their art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we change this dynamic, remove the glass ceiling here?
I think supporting women who are playing. To have that support is important. I think women are not a genre. And I think we're also often classified that way. And, I've heard many men say, well, I don't listen to girl artists. I don't listen to girl bands. I don't listen to women. Like, why? And they can't really explain. Oh, I just don't like it. I don't like that kind of music. Well, why not? And they can't articulate it, but I'm like, I know why. and we all know why.
Well, no. Explain why, though, for the people who don't get it out there. Go ahead.
No. Here come the letters.
It's okay.
Because of the discrimination against women. I mean, because we were discriminated against, and because we're not looked at as equal people, So
they're just singing music about breakups. How many songs out there about breakups by men? Yeah. So many.
Yeah.
I think
basically the entire body of work of Frank Sinatra, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah.
And I think a lot of cases it's exposure. I know my husband loves to listen to female singers in particular. He has reached out and listened to a lot. I mean, I kind of liken it to me not liking to eat avocado because I'd never really experienced it. And then one day I was like, oh, I've been missing this all these years. And, I think it's exposure.
Well, Melissa had a great phrase where she said, women are not a genre, which it reminded me of a famous, I think it's a story about Toni Morrison, the writer, where, she was asked early in her career, when are you going to start writing about serious stuff? Meaning, when are you going to start writing about men? Nicole's pretty much okay, she's done all right. I mean, a Nobel laureate, all of that. She's that constitutes a fair amount of success in just about mm-hmm. anyone's world. But there is this presumption somehow. So what? There's a part of me that thinks when you're saying okay. Well, it's just about breakup songs. Well, breakups are a big part of life and how you deal with setbacks and how you deal, particularly at the somewhat formative ages with having your heart broken for the first time. I mean, that's something that's primal, universal, that we all can relate to. So why would you be dismissive of that in the first place? Nicole, you're either nodding at me or I don't know whether you're agreeing with me or saying, in fact, I'm an idiot. But
no, I totally agree with that. So many of the expectations of why some people say they don't listen to women are around a lot of those preconceived notions. But I also think a step further is exposure and access to music. Like, when you think about what music you normally hear on the radio, how much of it includes women? Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about a band in general, when someone says, picture a band, like, what do you picture? It's usually 4 to 5 guys mm-hmm. playing music. When you look at, you know, there's just so many times where what you see is not inclusive of other groups of people. And when that happens, it's hard to picture them in those mm-hmm. places. You know, someone asked me why I played the bass. Oh, who is it that you looked up to? Who was the bass player who you saw? And at that time, you know, like, there weren't a lot of Black women bass players mm-hmm. that I knew of that I was seeing in places or seeing in the bands that I listened to. And so I kind of had to just say, well, I just like this and I'm going to do it. And, you know, that came full circle one year at camp when another girl who was Black came up to me and she said, oh, you know, I play bass too. I'm learning for the first time. I'm so excited. You know, like, how did you start playing music? And I was like, actually, I started playing the clarinet when I was in band. And she's like, I play the clarinet in school and band. Mm-hmm. And there was just that instant connection of, like, I see myself in you and I can see where I could go with this. And I think that's so important, especially for marginalized groups, to be able to see themselves in places where normally you're not seeing examples, because it makes it harder to see that path and that trajectory. And so if we're constantly not having opportunities, like, it's you really have to make an effort to listen to more women in music, because the normal avenues are not promoting that at the same rate that they are of men in music. So you have to be active about searching for that. You have to be active about making that happen. And that's the same in your community. You have to be active about calling other people in, or if someone invites you to a show, seeing if you can get another band on that also has women, or, mm-hmm. you know, just being able to be a cheerleader for that and being able to be supportive of that. And that doesn't have to mean that you don't support men. Mm-hmm. It means that you're inviting more people to the party. There's room for all of us to be able to be doing all these things, but if we're never invited to the table, it's just going to keep being something that's on the side. If promoters keep saying, oh, well, can you help me find some girl bands? If you can book your venue every night, no problem, until someone asks you to book a woman. I'm also going to say woman, not girl, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. all of us in here are over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. You're not doing your job as a promoter in this community if you cannot name enough bands with women in them to get into a room to book. You know, like, you should be looking out for bands, and that should be including us.
So one of the things you said kind of triggered, and I'd be curious to hear everybody's thoughts. Did you find that, you know, you mentioned the bass, that there weren't that you started out playing clarinet, did you find that people push you toward certain instruments or certain types of music because they think they're more feminine?
Oh, I wanted to play the saxophone. And I can't tell you how many other women I know who wanted to play the saxophone and were given a clarinet instead because it's smaller, weighs mm-hmm. less, and is easier to carry.
Michelle, you're nodding with recognition here.
No, I actually started on guitar. I had a few piano lessons, but I started on guitar, and then I bought myself a Les Paul, gold top Les Paul copy when I was about 15 with my money I earned from working in a convenience store. And then I wanted to buy an amplifier, and my mom said, no, those are too loud. We can't have one of those in the house. So I used to play through my little tape deck. So, yeah, volume as well as size are discouraged, I think, more so with girls than boys.
We are talking today on No Limits, in the special recorded No Limits, about promoting women in music in Indianapolis and Indiana. My guests are Michelle Marty. She is co-camp director and board president of Girls Rock Indianapolis. Nicole O'Neill, board member of Girls Rock Indy and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest. And WFYI's own Melissa Davis. She is the producer of Small Studios. Should say all three of them are musicians. Because this is a recorded program, we're not able to take calls, emails, or your questions or comments via social media, but we hope you're enjoying the discussion. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. This is a recorded No Limits, which means we're not taking calls, emails, or questions or comments via social media, but we hope you're enjoying the discussion. We're talking about the challenges facing women in music in Indianapolis and Indiana and what we can do about them. My guests are Michelle Marty. She is co-camp director and board president of Girls Rock Indianapolis. Nicole O'Neill, board member of Girls Rock Indy and co-organizer of the upcoming Woo Girl Fest. And WFYI's own Melissa Davis, who is the producer of Small Studios. All three of them are musicians. So actually during the break here, we were talking about where we go from here and how we ultimately empower women. And as I said during the break, we've done a lot of shows and I've had a lot of conversations with women of business, women in politics, women who are entrepreneurs, basically women in just about every facet of life. And the refrain from them often has been things really aren't going to change until we get so that we are in positions of power, too, where we're not the ones knocking on the door or, in this case, trying to work your way up onto the stage. So, you know, I know, Nicole, you have some resources, but let's talk about how we get to the point where more women own the dynamic here, own the stage. Nicole?
I think that starts with, you know, things like having more events that feature women so we can not only perform and be seen, but meet each other and work together and like network and start to really build up what we're doing. You know, part of how this fest got started was, you know, I had been experiencing some things and talked to other musicians about what they were experiencing too. And there was strength found in that. And like, you know, this isn't something that I'm going through alone. This is something that other people are also experiencing. And we can take that and do something about that at the community level and address it, because so many people may not know that these problems exist and may not be even aware that they don't know a lot of female musicians in the community, may not know if they know any trans musicians in the community, may not, you know, they may not even know that we're out there because it's not something they've regularly been invited to see or taken notice of. So being able to do something with that in a positive and constructive way that also calls other people in is such a way to build that strength and build that community and not really have to be upset about it. You can mm-hmm. take that anger and do something that makes you feel good and is an opportunity to just really call in the community to say, hey, you know, we're here and we wanna be seen and we wanna invite you to this party. We want you to have a good time and we want you to know that it's about more than just being on stage. It's about these conversations. It's about getting to know what's going on and seeing how you can be a part of this change in this movement.
Well, and some of that, it would strike me, Michelle, is part of the motivation behind Girls Rock and Woo Girl is, okay, if you're not going to invite us to our party, we'll just throw our own.
And it's a wonderful experience for the volunteers involved as well. It's very empowering for the people that are involved with Girls Rock as volunteers. But I also wanted to add that I think we need to get women involved in behind-the-scenes roles in music. Girls Rock Indianapolis holds their camp at IUPUI. We have a partnership with them for camp to hold our camp there every year. Part of the reason that got started is their Music and Arts Technology Program, which is the department that hosts us. I believe when we started using their facility, they only had two women amongst 60 students in their program. And they wanted to get the word out because, you know, a lot of their students are learning to be audio engineers and electronic musicians and being in other aspects of music. They wanted to get the word out to girls and start to let girls of school age know that things like this exist for them. And I believe they've at least quadrupled that number now, which still isn't a lot, but it's getting there. I know of women who've studied the business of music business, in various college courses, and they wind up doing sales and, you know, moving into other areas of business because it is very hard to break into that area. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about before with the Boys Club. It's kind of who you know when you want to get involved in running a venue or booking shows, things like that.
So, and it's because I want to ask the question also, is some of this, admittedly, there's a lot of sex, but it's also just can be a hard way to make a living. I'm wondering what the parallels are, because I've made my living most of my life with my pen. I'm as a writer, and I remember when I was looking at joining the Authors Guild some years ago, and one of the things they tell you about the benefits is that they said, in the United States and Canada, there are 600,000 published authors. Only 3,000 of them don't have day jobs. No. That it's a brutal way to try to make a living. And of those 3,000, a few of them are like the guy, James Wilcox, that the New Yorker wrote about, who was living well below the poverty level, just so he could write all the time. So is some of this also that it's just a very hard way to make a living, Melissa?
It is, but I think, you know, we're, I think, 51% of the population, and there should be more equal representation. And
I'm not disputing that at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not disputing that, but that heightens the challenge that the window gets narrower and narrower for you to crawl through. So let me ask this about the pieces here. In some ways, it would strike me with the advent of technology. Actually, this was a show you set up a few years ago for us in the local music scene. And I cannot remember the guest who said, you know, what's odd here is that the playing field has, you know, for getting your music out there has been leveled so much because you don't need to have a multimillion-dollar studio anymore. That, you know, you can do a lot of this stuff from your home and all of that. Has that been utilized in a way that at least allows more women to find their audiences? Melissa, I'll start with you.
That's a good question. I think it does break down the barriers are broken down a bit with that easy access to recording and gear. I don't know.
But I think there's still a hurdle to overcome because you can record your music.
Yeah.
You can put it out there, but it takes a certain amount of confidence to do that. And once again, I think that goes back to the way that girls are prepared for exposing themselves, as opposed to the way that boys, I mean, this is so general, I'm sorry about it this way, but there seems to be, it seems to be easier for boys to find that confidence to say, you know, I'm just going to put it out there and see what sticks. I think there are a lot more, there's a lot more evenness in those opportunities, but still it's a psychological and emotional thing.
There's almost like a self-censorship or self, it's not, I remember we did a show on women in politics and former Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, I think it was, said over the air that the classic example is that if you post a job, you know, listing, and you have 10 criteria, 10 qualifications that the ideal candidate is supposed to have, and she was generalizing. She said, most guys will look at that and think, well, if I've got one, I ought to go for it out of the 10. And most women, on the other hand, will say, if I don't fit all 10, I'm not gonna try.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's really insightful.
There's a reason she became lieutenant governor. She's a smart woman. It is that self-limiting too thing, which I guess gets back to then how do we break that down? Because that's not an external thing. That's something that too many women have internalized.
Well, some of the resources that Nicole was referring to before, I think it's going to happen in an educational setting, in a youth setting. we have Girls Rock Indianapolis, and that is our mission, to try and break down some of those barriers, to empower girls to own their skills and their voice and their own persona. We're in no judgment zone. If someone comes in wearing a certain clothing, mm-hmm. no one's allowed to say anything. We highly discourage that. Or if they like a certain type of music, we try not to knock that down. We all are there to support each other. And I know that there's a Jazz Girls Day that happens. I think Monica Herzig puts that on every year in Indianapolis and Bloomington now. Nicole, do you remember some of the other organizations and groups that are...
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of harking to what she was saying, I think still also representation is so important. If people continue to see more people mm-hmm. doing the things that they want to do, that also helps build that confidence, because you don't feel afraid to jump out there and be the only one when you know there's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I think I've learned that. One of the resources I really love is She Shreds magazine. That is a magazine made for women who play guitar or bass or stringed instrument. But they also had built a gear forum on Facebook that was just for, like, people to talk about gear. And, like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a music store and someone, like, either I get ignored or they're like, you know, are you looking for this for you or is this for somebody? Like, there's this assumption that I'm not there shopping for myself.
Or that you couldn't possibly know what they're
right.
talking about.
Right, and yeah, either. If I say yeah. something and it's like this, they have to overcomplicate things sometimes. And, you know, I've had many times where I've just left stores because the experience has been so terrible. But this place was formed online where people could talk about gear and ask questions and even things as simple as, you know, do you prefer a boom mic or more standard? And just you could just mm-hmm. ask those things, and people were just jumping in and helping each other. Mm-hmm. And I loved that because it helped me learn more about my own stuff and my own gear and want to learn more about pedals and want to ask questions and call other people. I'd invited so many people, like, you should check this out and you should check this out. And we were all just having these conversations and learning so much about not only instruments and gear, but learning about ourselves and being able to help other people.
It's far mm-hmm. less intimidating to ask mm-hmm. those kind of questions amongst a group of women or, you know, mm-hmm. non-gender conforming people mm-hmm. than it is in a group of guys.
Yeah. And I'd even say, you know, Girls Rock is great, but there are only so many Girls Rocks around. Like right now, up until this year, we were the only one in Indiana. And now mm-hmm. Girls Rock Bloomington is starting its mm-hmm. first year, which is really exciting because that means there's more people who are going to have access to starting to play instruments and learning how to find their voice. And so, you know, if you listeners out there, if you live somewhere where you don't have a Girls Rock and think that sounds cool, you know, check out the resources and maybe it's time to start your own. Like, starting your own stuff can be such a scary thing, but also such a great way to just get these ideas out there and communicate with more people and meet more like-minded people and just start to build that group of folks who can start advocating for these things and can help each other out and just be called into the conversation.
Which brings us back around to the you know, if we've got listeners who are listening to this program, you know, girls, young women, who are interested in getting involved with Girls Rock, how do they go about doing that? What's the best way to get involved?
Unfortunately for the youth portion of that, the applications are now closed for this summer's camp.
Okay.
They open in February, so if they go to the website girlsrockindy.org and sign up for our newsletter, we'll be sending out newsletters reminding people when it's time to sign up again for next year.
Mm-hmm.
As for teens and 17 and above who want to volunteer, we're taking volunteer applications also at girlsrockindy.org. And women, we also, as we said before, are inclusive of trans and mm-hmm. non-binary folks. Just guys cannot apply. It's a safe space. And, girlsrockindy.org has all the information you need for that.
People can also join committees. We have lots of committees on Girls Rock that need help, so you don't even have to be a musician to be involved in something like that, and that's year-round.
We are 100% volunteer-run. So we rely on our friends to help keep the mission going.
So what constitutes a great Girls Rock experience, a successful Girls Rock experience?
For a camper?
Yeah.
We get so many girls sending us these testimonials or their parents saying, my daughter came back every day after camp so enthusiastic and filled with ideas and empowerment, and then the confidence has stayed with her throughout the school year, and she can't wait to come back next year. So many people say that, so I think we're actually being, we're hitting the mark. You know, our evaluations are showing we're hitting the mark, and the way that the campers react, it really is empowerment. It is confidence building.
And let's talk a little bit more about the Woo Girl Fest. If people want to attend, how do they go about doing that, Nicole?
Well, first, there's something I keep forgetting. I want to make sure I say I'm not the only person who's involved with Woo Girl Fest. The co-founders are Kristen Newborn and Ariana Beattie, who are also super involved in this community. Ariana runs the Fossa Foss Collective literary magazine online, and Kristen has been a musician here in Indianapolis and in Chicago for a very long time in many bands. So, again, when I say it takes a tribe of strong people coming together and building something, that's with them. But Woo Girl Fest, we're going to have volunteers coming up soon. But if people want to get tickets, you can go to WooGirlFest.com, and all the information is there.
You better spell Woo Girl Fest because...
Oh, yeah. So it's WOOGRLFEST. So there's no I in girl.
Okay. So, and you say tickets are available. What's the cost to attend?
Tickets are $15 in advance, and that gets you for a full day of so much music, $25 day of show.
And who are some of the bands?
Some of the bands. Service, Hannah Benn. Oh, she's amazing. She's been on some of the WFYI shows. Putting me on the spot, but there's just so many of them. Can you talk to Melissa and come back to me? I can see all the names in my head, and then I can't say them all out. So
it is an amazing lineup. When I looked at the lineup, I was like, this is going to be an amazing show. I think Radar Gold is going to be
Radar
there.
Radar Gold, Manners Please,
White Moms. Oh my gosh, yes. It's going to be so good.
And
so
that's many. Over three venues.
Yes.
So that people will be able to go back and forth between three venues that are very closely located to one another in Fountain Square.
And it's April 20th, correct?
April 20th.
That, unfortunately, I'm afraid, will have to be the last word. I feel like we could have talked for another couple hours about all of this stuff. But I'd like to thank my guests, Michelle Marty, Nicole O'Neill, and Melissa Davis, for what has been a really lively conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Certainly about promoting women in music here in Indianapolis and Indiana. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.